Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with Tim Flood, who shares his Land Academy member experience. Tim, how are you?
I'm very well today. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
I am so happy.
Right. Oh, Joe, go ahead.
I wanted to say the reason why we're here. You are kicking off our new series of having members be on shows. We're going to try to do it every Wednesday, I believe, now is our plans. And the reason I asked you, and I'm not going to get into too much detail right now, but I'm just going to say you were so sweet in sharing us a really cool note that you sent us in our Facebook Messenger. That I'm sure it was just meant to be a little private, little thank you, rah rah, about this deal that you did, and oh my gosh, what just happened? And I'm like, oh wow, okay, we got to talk about.
Well, let's cut to the chase. I mean, what's the deal that you did?
So actually, there were two. I hit a couple of home runs this month, but one was a bases loaded grand slam home run.
Bases loaded grand slam.
Yeah, we knocked it out of the park this month.
Doesn't get any better than that.
So the nice deal was we bought a little 5-acre parcel near Tulsa, and we bought that one for $10,000, and we sold it for $50,000.
Nice.
So that's a pretty nice deal.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the best deal. We bought a 17-acre parcel that's east of Tulsa, and we bought it for $36,000 plus closing costs. So we were all in at about $38,000, and we didn't even really get a chance to market it on Facebook, which is where we do most of our marketing. I had a friend of mine go put a sign up out front, and I got calls instantly.
Wow!
And I thought,
a
Home Depot for sale by owner sign.
I love it with like a Sharpie.
Yeah. And my number and the phone started ringing instantly.
Wow.
Why do you think so? Was it the deal? Was it the location? Why do you think it was such a good response?
Wow.
Yeah, it was exactly the location. So one of the things that we do that's a little different from what I think some of the other people are doing, we physically go and drive and look at each and every property that we're going to buy.
That's what Joe Martin does.
And
so are you in Tulsa?
No. I'm in Fort Worth.
Okay. All right.
So it's a 4 or 5 hour drive or whatever. So it's well worth a couple $100 for a hotel room and a couple of meals out and the gas to get up there to go look around. Cause what I saw,
it's fun too.
Yeah.
This area was outside of Tulsa, but it was kind of on that outer edge of the solar system. I could see the building pattern. I could see the commercial development, the convenience stores going in, the housing developments, the churches they were building. I saw which way this was going, and I knew at that moment I had a gold mine because I was right at the verge of where the farm fields and the construction were intersecting.
All right, we have all these questions that we want to ask you, but this is way more interesting.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of questions. Like, so tell us about the seller. Was it the typical seller?
It was really very minimal contact. We sent out an offer. So let me back up a minute. So the mailer, when it went out, was a little tricky for the fact that this particular county in Tulsa was, or this particular county in Oklahoma was partially rural, but then on the other end of the county, it started to encroach into that Tulsa metro area. So I did a lot of research and I started to price it and I thought, well, I can't send out the same price for all areas of the county. So I kind of just made some arbitrary lines based on the section, township, and range.
Beautiful.
And I said, okay, this area of the county gets this offer. And then all the way over here on this other end, they get this offer.
I mean, here's a walking model of how this is supposed to work.
Beautiful.
So you really, really took some time and did an intelligent mailer.
Yeah. And so it was somewhat arbitrary, but at some point I had to pull the trigger and the mailer went out. And I think I offered them 2,000 an acre, and it was 35,000 in change. And they said, we'll accept 36. And I said, well, okay, sure.
Awesome.
And so it was really, I didn't get their backstory. I called an abstract company out of Oklahoma and I just said, I want to buy this property from XYZ seller. And that was really the end of it. I never talked to them. I don't know their story.
That's great.
Was it a cash sale? There's no financing or anything?
Correct.
Nice. Yeah.
Who bought it? What's the profile there?
So
or don't you care?
Not so much. No, this is kind of
that's really all that matters.
This is kind of interesting. So we bought the property and we had title insurance and we went through the whole abstract. So we knew we had a good, clean title for the next buyer. So Again, we put the sign up. We get a lot of calls. And I just shot to the moon. I thought, you know, no one is going to pay me any more than I'm asking. So I'm going to come up with a dream up the highest number I can think of. And I thought, I'm going to ask.
What Jill does.
I'm gonna ask $150,000 for this property, and I'm going to see what happens.
Why not?
So there's a guy, and based on his email address, I think he owns some kind of construction company or a concrete company or something. Oh, okay. He said, will you take $130,000 for it? Now, remember, we're all in at 38. And so I'm trying to play Johnny Coolbreeze on the phone with this guy, you know? And I said, well, yeah, I guess we'll take that, you know? So he wants to do some inspections, which is all, you know, of course you would with that kind of money. And he wants to put maybe some houses or driveways in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And man, he hems and hauls about it for about a week. And I said, Mr. whatever his name was, I said, man, I got to know something. I need to move on this pretty quick. I've got a lot of other calls behind you. Mm-hmm. Finally, he calls me, says, look, man, I had this problem with my financing and I can't do this and that. And I said, okay, so thanks for letting me know. So again, my phone is ringing off the hook. So I went to the next buyer number two and I said, hey, listen, buyer number one dropped out of the race. So you're next in line. I said, but I'm not going to take anything less than $150,000 for this property. He said, I'm happy to do it. I can't wait. So just by holding off a few days for buyer number one to fool around with it, we made $20,000 just by holding on to it and going to the next buyer.
Amazing.
Now
that's
his story.
Fantastic. So when you messaged us, it was at the 130 sale price.
That's correct.
Went up $20,000.
That's right. Between the private message I sent you and now, we've made another $20,000 on it.
Just, isn't that great?
Just by playing it cool.
I know. I'll tell you what,
I would have done that. I would have taken 130 in 1 minute.
And so this other buyer, this is the interesting part. So he had let me know a little bit, maybe a little too much. I'm reading some different books on negotiation thanks to the one-day event we had, and I'm trying to learn a little bit. So this other buyer number two let me know a little too much. Well, my daddy's land is over there on the north side, and I'm trying to get the family farm put back together, and I've been saving up for 20 years for this property. And I said, oh, sure, I'd love to help you. I can't wait to help you with this farm.
Exactly.
But I said, the price is going to cost you what it's going to cost you. I said, but don't worry, you're going to make out fine. I've seen Tulsa and how it's growing. You're going to be fine. So, you know, maybe he does sell it in a few years and he makes a gazillion dollars. I'm happy for him.
Exactly. I hope they put a shopping mall there.
We're all in at 38 and we sold it for 150. So
amazing.
It's pretty good return. I was pleased with that.
That is so awesome. I want to back up here for a minute and ask Tim, what is your backstory? What have you been doing before you got to us?
Oh, well, this is the beauty of this. I'm a perfect candidate for anybody that's new or listening. I have zero skills, or I told you this, I never would have come up with this business. If you paid me 40 hours a week in a quiet room to dream up business ideas, I never would have come up with this.
Wow.
I was selling some stuff on Amazon, which meant I ended up with a barn full of crap out in my backyard.
Yeah, we've all been there.
And I was trying to figure out how to get rid of this stuff. And I was just looking for podcasts on eBay. Okay. And because of the search terms, I literally stumbled across your podcast totally by accident because you sell land on eBay.
Oh,
great.
And at that time you were at about, I don't know, episode 50-ish. I can remember, I remember specifically Luke Smith's first interview. He had just done his first mailer at that time.
Yeah, wow.
I remember you've been around for quite
some
time,
so
like
cool.
Probably 2015 or 16, right?
Yeah, I think we bought the educational kit in the spring of 2016, and nice. I'm in construction, or was in construction, and my partner's in the diesel industry, and so we were both very busy, and we were doing okay. We were doing some little fives and sevens. We were making some money, but not enough to justify a career change at that time. Okay. Last October, I lost my job in construction, which was a real beat down at that time, but come to find out, it's been really the biggest blessing in my life.
Every single person in our group who loses their job,
I have goosebumps,
becomes like a bajillionaire.
Exactly.
Well, what I did at that time, my wife was not supportive of this idea, but I said, look, about October 1, I said, look, for the next 90 days, I'm not going to do anything but keep my head down, and I'm going to make a run at this as hard as I can run. I'm going to try. I have to try.
Awesome.
And I said, if worse comes to worse, I'll go back into construction if this fails.
Sure.
And I forget what exactly was on our inventory, but we had 5 or 7 or 10 properties or whatever it was. And I said, my goal is to sell all of these properties by the end of the year. And I got the last call. I sold the very last property. It was New Year's Eve and we were traveling that day.
That's so
and about
awesome.
About 4 p.m. there was a guy that called me and said, hey, I want that property.
Nice.
And that's when I knew I had made the right decision because I had completed my goal somehow.
That's your holiday theory.
Thank you. It does prove my holiday theory.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you that, Jill. I sold more properties over the holiday last year than I sold a bunch of properties and made a bunch of money during the holiday season. People will buy property during the holidays if you work at it.
I stand corrected.
I agree.
This holiday 2019, if I'm doing a little better, I may be a little lazier. People may not buy as much property, you know, if I'm kicking back or in front of the fire or whatever, but I worked hard at it. And I was on the phone and I was on the computer and I was everything I could think of to do to sell property.
That's awesome.
And we had some pretty audacious financial goals that we were intended to meet by the end of that year. And we were within a couple $100.
Wow. A
couple $100?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we hit it like bullseye. And then
can you share the goals with us?
We wanted to have $100,000 in the bank by the end of the year.
Perfect.
And we were at 99 and change or something like that.
So on New Year's Eve, is that when your wife said, all right, Tim, I trust you. You clearly got this.
She hasn't said that yet.
Oh, no.
she's pretty cool about this whole business, I'll tell you. She snuck in today on me just to check on me to make sure I was working and not moving off. She's pretty cool about this.
Today. Even now, Jill does that to me.
That's kind of funny.
What are you doing in there?
Yeah.
You need to goof off now and then, though. I get it.
Look, I gave my life to the construction industry, and at almost 50 years old, I had zero to show for it. Zero.
Yep. Wow.
With our two home runs this month, I have made more money in the month of March than a construction superintendent makes in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'll tell you, I have a very similar story in accounting, just a decade of nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What was it about what triggered you to, because this was it because you understood the value of properties because of what you were doing that said, hey, there might be something here, or these guys are obviously crazy and I'm crazy too. Maybe these are my tribe. I don't know.
I think so, Jill. Again, I wouldn't have come up with flipping rural land. I never would have thought of that. And we just started doing what you guys said to do.
Cool.
And I didn't do it perfect, but I did it to the best of my ability. And I got mailers out and I looked at properties and we bought some stinkers along the way. And we learned from those lessons. And now we kind of know what to look for, you know. And now we know who to call and how to find out the answers to those things we didn't know before.
It's amazing.
This is super interesting. So you're not a data person, really. Mm-hmm. And is this the first company you've ever owned?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So you're proving me
this
wrong.
Is great.
Like, this is good, actually.
Yeah.
So how was your data download scrubbing and the whole mailer experience? Because before offers to owners too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We used the other company and I can't remember whatever they were. We used them at first. I'm pretty savvy with Excel.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Before we had the RealQuest and everything for everybody, right? You were doing it on your own totally.
No. We did use RealQuest. When we joined, you had RealQuest around, but it was the other mailer company.
We had Data to Doorstep.
Yeah.
And then that. Okay, cool. Awesome.
So was it a tough learning curve for you on the data mail merge piece?
No, not so much. I'm somewhat savvy with computers. You know, I mean, I'm not like a construction hand. I went to college, and so I know Excel. I didn't have too much trouble with that. But no, I've never owned a business, and so that part of it, even to this day, I've still got to take some classes on tax planning and how to do the cash flow and all those kind of things. None of that means anything to me.
The smartest people on the planet have not figured out even cash flow and tax planning. So you're fine.
We goof it up now and then. You're just fine.
Me too.
But all those resources are out there. I talked to, there's a group called SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives, and they have some classes, and they're cheap and affordable. And so I'm going to start taking classes now that I have the time and the luxury. So, so no, I've never owned a business, and that part of it I'm not real strong on, but I have the mechanics of the actual land business down pretty fair now. I don't want to say I'm an expert, but somewhat. I kind of got the idea.
So are you still doing this all on your own? Have you hired help? Are you thinking about that yet?
We've tried some VAs. Personally, that has not worked out for me. I have a partner, a guy that I've known for 20 years. So in fact, I told you I listened to the first whatever, 50 or whatever episodes. And I sent this to a buddy of mine who's always been just my idea dreamer friend, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, man, I want you to take a listen to this. And he called me back 3 or 4 days later. He said, man, we can do this. This is something we can do. And he was fired up. And at that moment, our business was born, and he and I are 50-50 partners in the corporation.
Excellent.
Okay, that's
and
amazing.
So he's kind of the back end. I think we have some pretty good videos and stuff that we do now. He's kind of in charge of that end of it because that's not my forte. And I'm the quote-unquote pretty face behind the business. So I'm the guy out front and I do the phone calls and I talk to the people and close the deals and all that. He's kind of the back end guy on the website and the internet and the videos and all that.
Perfect.
So you hit your 2018 goal. What are you trying to do in 19?
Yeah.
It's audacious. It's big.
Oh, good. This is awesome.
We are on the verge of 200,000 in the bank. And our goal for June, July timeframe is 400,000 in the bank.
Good.
Nice. You're going to do it. You know what? Yeah. You will do it. Yeah. It's like if you're that, and you're making, it's not, you're, when you really put it out there and write it down and talk about it and have a plan and you just, it will happen. Every person I talk to that really gets real specific and says, this is what's going to do it happen. Yep. For some reason, it just happens.
Do you do that, Jill? Do you have like a financial goal for 2019?
You know, I haven't reset my goals. I need to. So, and honestly, it's because you set our goals. Yeah, he really sets our goals. So I sit back and I go, oh, I know that's going to happen. And you just sent out an email the other day resetting our goals. And I'm like, yep, I see it coming.
Well, our staff does now.
Yeah.
And they're big, much bigger than mine.
Yeah.
And so now I don't have to do it.
Yeah, they up their own goals.
Yeah.
It's really great. I come in, I'm like, what are we doing? They're like, these are our new numbers. I'm like, wow, this is great. So it's usually around data, mail, you know, it's all of that included. It's really cool. So, and properties and selling land. So I do have my own goals there, by the way. I'm going to have $1 million in the bank. Well, more than that. But my first goal is my $1 million in the bank, which is our little deal funding that I'm doing.
We had a separate project, you know, deal funding.
Yeah.
Tim, but Jill's taken that on and started with next to nothing, and it's very rapidly growing.
Yeah, have you thought about using that yet? Are you looking at bigger properties? Have you tried Land Tank?
Yeah, in fact, I had a property I posted on Land Tank and got a lot of favorable response. I did a little more research on it, and I had to go back to the seller and say, "Hey, there's some confusion about what you own or don't own. You've sold some stuff." Okay. So he's looking at that now, but the thing that's changed is that now we have some resources, so we don't have to scramble and buy just anything that we think might work. We can really hold out, and we can buy bigger parcels. We might be in a position, we're starting to talk a little bit about funding deals ourselves, so we have a lot more flexibility and latitude about where we're going to be able to go in the next few months once we start to build up this this war chest we're planning on.
That's great.
Love it. This is the growth that I didn't see coming, and I love it.
I didn't see any of this when we started this.
So now you're moving into that next level, and so that makes my job to keep bringing in new people so you can fund their deals, and then everybody moves up. So I love it.
We intend to start buying bigger properties. Excuse me. There was an expression we heard at that one-day event in Fort Worth about buy it by the ranch, sell it by the pasture. And we really like that. So we want to start looking at bigger parcels in Texas and maybe some subdividing and some things like that. I really can see that this is not just a five-acre parcel out in the woods somewhere. This is something a lot bigger than that. We intend to kind of pursue that and see where it takes us.
That was my next question. So working off that, the $150,000 deal you did, do you recall what the zoning was there?
Rural ag.
Just rural. Oh, so it was agriculture. Oh. Did the end user intend to use it as agricultural land?
I don't know what his plan is. Again, his dad owns the 18 acres and he wants to kind of rejoin the family pieces. As far as I know, they just want to have it to be in the family. I don't know what his plans are beyond that.
That's cool.
Have you explored different, branching out into different product types, different types of land, maybe houses or anything else?
Not at this time, because the rural vacant land seems to work so well for us. Again, I think we're right at that threshold where we do have some options. Yeah, in my head, in my mind's eye, I've thought about playing with things, and maybe we, because I have been in construction so long, maybe we get a dirt guy to improve this or clear and grub this, or maybe we get a concrete guy to put in a little thing over here, a driveway or something. I mean, those kind of things I'm thinking about. We don't have a firm plan, but I can see where it would go that way pretty easily.
Awesome.
So we covered the signage thing. How else have you sold property successfully in the past?
I have to tell you, we really have developed a Facebook marketing machine that's been pretty incredible for us. And we didn't really intend to. We intended to use Facebook as one of many avenues.
Right.
But we're getting out to so many people now. So, in fact, my partner was talking to somebody, and our stuff is starting to show up on other people's feeds without being boosted, without paying for ads. We're starting to really, we have 4,000 and something likes and followers.
That's great.
Yeah. So we primarily use Facebook.
That's great.
If you're comfortable with it, can you describe it in detail? If you're comfortable.
I don't understand your question. I'm sorry.
The Facebook, there's a lot of different ways you can use Facebook. Can you describe how you use it?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a latecomer to Facebook. For the longest time, I saw my wife on there and I thought, that is the dumbest thing ever. Who cares if you're eating enchiladas for dinner?
Me too. Same thing.
I'll agree.
But when I wanted a business page and I started investigating, I found that to my knowledge, you can't have a business page without it being a subset of your personal page. Mm-hmm. So I created this personal page, and I see why it's a little addictive. It's kind of fun. You get the, hey, everybody, ever like the thing?
Yeah.
And so we created this business page, Rural Land Watch, and we just started posting stuff. And then there's a thing that you can boost an ad, and you can set your target demographics, and we want all males between 21 and 40 who are interested in deer hunting and ATVs in this outside of Muskogee, Oklahoma. And we started tinkering with that, and we boosted ads, and we made posts, and we just posted pictures and videos, and people just started liking the stuff. And once we got so many likes, now it's kind of taken on a life, not a life of its own, but it's gained momentum.
Yeah.
And this is a classic success story.
Yeah.
You basically fell ass backwards into this whole entire thing.
It was dumb luck.
I like Facebook, but it's the power.
Yeah. We knew that's where the eyeballs were. That we knew we had to get on Facebook because that's where everyone is. Exactly. And so, yeah, I didn't know anything about it. So,
that's amazing. I love it. So you have some big picture goals for this year monetarily. Like, do you have a 5-year plan? Like, how is this gonna, to wrap this up? How is this gonna end for you?
I want to know what it's gonna take to make your wife happy.
And that.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys because I know this is going to go to the land community and no further.
Right.
So my wife and kids are big, big fans of Disneyland. And I'm a big fan of Disney to the extent that I love my family.
Right? Sounds like you.
Yep.
That's not my dream vacation, but that's their dream vacation. We've been a few times, and that's what they want. So... my buddy is down in Houston, and I've got this kind of scheme in my mind. Again, she's not going to hear this podcast. So I told him, I said, look, here's what we're going to do. In the summer, when we reach this big, hairy financial goal, I want you and your wife to write a big, hairy check to my wife. And I'm going to say, Sonny's her name. Hey, Sonny, we've got to go down to Houston. We're going to have dinner, and we're going to celebrate our victory. I'm going to play it real cool.
Perfect.
At dinner, he's going to hand her not only the check, but the Disney planning guide so that she makes the connection immediately that the check is for the Disney trip. And we're going to stay in the big the Disney Resort on campus, the big bucks, eat the Disney meals, and do the whole 24-karat gold Disney trip. Yay. And I think at that point, I will have finally won her over.
Hey, that's awesome. Promise us that we live like
a half
hour from Disneyland.
I'll post it on Facebook, Jill.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We live a half hour from there, so yes. Call us and
we'll are you talking out. Disneyland or Disney World?
Oh, Florida.
Disneyland is our favorite because we've been. That was our first Disney trip, and that's kind of the magic for our family is the Disneyland.
Oh, okay, good. And we got the Star Wars thing open up here soon here in May, I think.
Yeah.
Which one is ours?
I'm excited. Land.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited.
Give us a call. We'll,
yeah, let me know. We'll come out and have dinner.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll treat.
Thank you.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of my goal with my wife to really kind of, she's more supportive now because the numbers are getting bigger and bigger and I'm keeping her informed and she sees that this is working.
Smart.
So I think that she'll come on board. And I don't want to go too much into this, but we've got some family things to take care of, some debts and vehicles and some housing things that
like everyone.
And I'm doing this all in steps and in sequence, right? So got to build the business. And when we get to X, then we're going to pay off the debt. And then we're going to do this with a vehicle. And then we're going to do this with the house, and et cetera.
Smart.
Did you know all this about Tim before we did this interview?
I did not know all this about
anything.
Tim.
I thought it was just going to be like a regular like thing.
No, this is awesome.
Like, yeah, I send some mail out and I buy some property.
Yeah. And I hit a home run. I didn't even know it got that much better, too. That's so good.
So I was thinking about it. It's one part following the system that you guys teach.
Yeah.
It's one part blind luck that I stumbled onto this. And it's one part that we drove to the property and saw it.
You know? I think there's something there. Like, yeah. I can say this honestly.
Yeah.
I've never seen a property that we've purchased and resold. I've never gone to a piece of real estate that we've owned ever.
Right.
And I've never put a sign on anything.
Mm-mm.
So this is getting, but we Facebook the heck out of everything.
Right.
So this is getting me thinking
that maybe we should do
fewer deals.
Well, we bought a drone. And so I always take drone video of each property and I do a little kind of a what here I am with the, we call it the aw shucks, you know, aw shucks. This is Tim from Rural Land Watch, and let me tell you about this property I got.
Oh, my God.
It's the aw shucks routine.
I love it. This is really good.
It's fantastic.
So I walk each property with the video, and I do the aw shucks, and here's the road, and here's your power lines, and here's the other thing you want to see, and let me tell you about the duck hunting you're going to be able to do here, and then the drone footage, and then my partner kind of ties all that together and makes a really nice video out of it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to go look for these now, too. I can't wait to see them.
Well, it's Rural Land Watch, and we've got a little Facebook page,
That's fantastic.
You know, you're a walking model of partnerships, too.
Yeah.
You know, my business really took off when Jill became a partner.
Thank you.
You know, can you talk a little bit about that? The goods, is there anything bad about having the partner that you have? Probably can't talk about it on the air, but.
Well, he chooses to remain anonymous because of his career, so let's just call him Mr. X for the point of this conversation. Yeah. So Mr. X and I've known the guy for 20 years. We've been just buddies and friends, and I think we may actually have a Ben and Jerry's type success story rather than the thousands of other partnerships that don't work. We just get along well. We don't bicker and feud. If we do have a disagreement, we're able to work it out real quickly.
Just joking.
And he's strong where I'm weak. And then, you know, and again, I take kind of the front leadership visible role and he's content with that. And so it seems to work out.
It's good.
And with his career, you know, we have an official agreement on paper, but because of my situation, having lost my job and having to keep my family fed and stuff, we're just working it out, and so I'm drawing a salary from the corporation and he's not at this time. And we're just going to work it all out. You know, at some point the money's going to be there and everybody's going to get caught up and made whole. And that's how it's going to work.
So you trust each other.
I love that.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah, that's huge. That's wonderful. Well, are there any last advice or tips you want to give to someone who's just found this?
I would just say this, you know, I'm the poster child for if I can do it, anybody can do it. I don't have any skill set prior to this that would lead me to success in this business model. I've never owned a business. I didn't really know anything about buying or flipping. I wouldn't have considered it. I literally was so dumb. I just did what you said and didn't think too much about it. And if there's somebody that's new, just I'll say this, Steve, that everything you said from the very beginning, from running that Craigslist ad, everything happened exactly like you said it would happen.
Thank you, Tim.
And so I have no reason to believe that it wouldn't continue to happen or happen for anyone else, you know?
Right.
I did that because you said the point of the Craigslist ad was not to make money or to gain traffic or to get leads, just to see.
Yeah,
you can do this for free. I said, well, let me see. And I posted the free Craigslist ad, and exactly what you said happened.
Yeah.
And so the same thing from that moment forward, it's all worked exactly like you guys have said. So just if somebody's new, just do it.
It's really good to hear, because I'll tell you, as you probably know, you know, the vast, at this point with Land Academy itself, what gets to Jill and I is usually bad news. Or it's usually some disgruntled person who couldn't figure out how to get a mailer out. It's so nice to hear from somebody who's successful long-term, not just like last month, long-term success. So it's great, man. We're proud of you. I mean, I know this works. So it's a little bit at times, not so much recently, but at times it's frustrating. It's like, man, I know this stuff works. I've done it.
Yep.
We do it all the time.
Yeah. We just sent out our most recent mailer in another county here in Texas just hit, and you know, it's predictable results. We get a whole bunch of no's, and there's one maybe, but at a higher price, and I'm looking at that property to see what we can justify paying for it, and they're going to come in, and now my next mailer is going to go out, and the next one, and the next one, and it's just, it works that simple.
So what's your mailer yield like? Like, how many do you send out to purchase?
I try and target about 3,000 mailers per month. And I don't worry so much. I think I heard you say something about 1% at one time.
Yeah.
And I kind of gave up worrying about that part of it because that was like this quota thing that I couldn't figure out why I wasn't meeting. We just buy what we buy.
Okay, good.
Perfect. And beyond that, it's not relevant.
Exactly.
Because what we have found as we go into bigger and bigger properties, it's not that hard to outspend the money we have in the bank. So I don't necessarily need to hit a certain quota or percentage. I just need to buy good properties at the right price, what I can buy.
So it's about dollars for you.
I love it.
Not percentages. Yeah,
that's right. I love it. It's working.
Because like that one I was telling you about, that's the guy's got to survey it and get it ciphered out. You know, maybe that'll come to fruition and be another one, or maybe it won't. But at what point do you draw the line and say, okay, from this point, you know, I'm at 1% from here back, or what, you know? So we just don't worry about the percentages or the hit ratio. We just buy what we buy.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tim. This was so great, and I really appreciate
Thanks for having me.
Taking the time and giving us your whole story and telling us your goals, and it's just inspirational for me.
Me too.
You know, that's for me. This is why we're here. So.
Well, I said this in the private message, and if anybody's listening that didn't see it, I'm telling you, you guys have changed my family's life. You have changed the course. I didn't come up with this idea. I did what you said, and my family's life is going to be different because of it, you know?
Thank you, Tim. I'm really happy to hear that. Thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for the episode called Hiring, Training, and Trusting Your Land Company VA.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Tim, again.
Thank you. I'm like, I'm trying to hold back the tears
a pleasant
here.
Pleasant surprise. Like we interview people, and I never know what to expect. And this is just a wonderful surprise.
So good.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
And thank you for reaching out to us and sending us that note. I would have never known. And I am so happy and excited and proud of everything that you're doing. And please, please keep doing that.
Well, so. I don't want to be the guy that's always bragging about numbers, but I'll be honest, I'm a little bit proud of what we did this month. So I wanted to crow just a little bit.
You should, and I'll do it with you.
Yeah, don't worry about our numbers, too.
Thank you. Wherever you're watching or wherever you are listening, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.